I'd like to welcome you all to the Board of Directors meeting for Altus Schools Southern California Nonprofit Board, which also operates Audeo Charter School 2, Audeo Charter School 3, Audeo Valley Charter, Grossmont Secondary, Mirror Secondary, and Sweetwater Secondary. I'm Waylon Myers, Chairman of the Board, and I will facilitate the meeting. Let's take the roll first. When I call your name, please provide the group with a brief introduction for the benefit of new members and members of the public. Chris Gordon is not here. He's been excused today. So Jim Herr.
Jim Herr, president of Perrin Hall. We're in the commercial furniture business. We have about 50 employees. We've been in business in San Diego for over 75 years.
Great. Christina Stevens.
Hi, Christina Stevens. I am the safety and training coordinator at my company, which I've been there for 28 years. Company is called Hydraulic Controls, and we serve all over the place for any hydraulic needs.
And I'm Waylon Myers, Chairman of the Board. I'm also the CEO of Myers Media Group, and we've been in business for about 16 years doing digital marketing. All right. Mary, do you want to introduce anyone? I know that you are here. Paul Minnie is here. Anyone else that we need to introduce?
Well, much of our crowd you know, but I am. Okay. I would like to introduce a presenter today, and that's Dean Catherine Rambo. We call her Dean, and she's contracted as a dean.
Fantastic.
Is the organizer and the person that runs Altus University. And we move forward with Dean as the because of the fact that we are in the last legs of our work with the California Commission on Teacher Credentialing. Mm. So we should be starting sometime soon, next year, next few months, in with our cohort. I think we're in the fourth stage or something, fourth of five stages. And so it's been a long, long task, but we're almost there.
Fantastic.
And it's very exciting that we'll be able to function as a post-secondary institution in regard to credentials for teachers. In this case, it would be, we're starting off with the preliminary credentials, and then we hope to move from there, special ed, and who knows, sky's the limit.
That's great. That should be really good for our ability to attract good teachers.
Tiffany Andell is supposed to be joining us. She's the director of operations, and she'll be presenting a little bit too. But her region is having problems. Cox and Verizon are having problems in their region. So she's working through that.
Okay,
which
great.
Is ironical since she runs the technology piece. And it's not her fault. So
she's not running their technology. So that's
going out of her mind. So thank you.
Okay. Let's do 1.3, establishment of quorum. Looks like quorum has been established. So do I have a motion for approval of item 1.3? And let's just go back and forth between Jim and Christina on those motions to keep it simple. Jim.
Sure. Yeah, this is Jim Herr, and I make a motion to approve item 1.3.
Do I have a second?
Christina Stevens, and I second that motion.
All right, that sounds good. Let's take the vote via roll call. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr.
Aye, nay, aye. Abstain. Okay.
Aye.
Christina Stevens.
Christina Stevens, aye.
And Waylon Myers, aye. That is a unanimous. Let's do the Pledge of Allegiance, section 1.4. Everyone, please stand. And ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. Let me get the cameras back in order here. There we go. All right, let's do the approval of the agenda, item 1.5. Do I have a motion for approval of with a recommendation from Mary Bixby?
Recommend approval.
All right, and a motion.
This is Christina. Jim. Okay, go ahead, Christina.
This is Christina Stevens, and I recommend to move forward with the agenda.
Okay, and do I have a second to that motion?
This is Jim Herr, and I second that motion.
Excellent. Let's do the vote. Jim Herr, your vote, please.
Jim Herr, aye.
And Christina Stevens?
Christina Stevens, aye.
And Waylon Myers votes aye. Section 2.0, public comment. Public comment for items of interest to the public and within the scope of the Altus Schools Southern California Board, non-agenda items, shall be no longer than 2 minutes. Public comment for agenda items shall be no longer than 3 minutes. Speakers may not yield their time. In meetings held over Zoom, any person who wishes to make a comment on either non-agenda or agenda items shall use the raise hand feature of Zoom and notify the board. In accordance with the Brown Act, no discussion or action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to respond or give direction to staff. All public comment will be heard at this point in the agenda as ordered below. Each agenda item being commented on will have a maximum of 20 minutes allotted to each non-agenda item and a maximum of 10 minutes. Each agenda item being commented on will have a maximum of 20 minutes allotted, and each non-agenda item will have a maximum of 10. If necessary, the board chair may equivalently decrease the time for each speaker in order to stay within the allotted maximum. Section 2.1, non-agenda public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items not on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Are there any public comments on items not on the agenda? I don't see any hands raised on Zoom, so let's move on. 2.2, agenda items public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items that appear on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Are there any public comments on agenda items? I see none. Moving on. All right, we're going to move into closed session right now, and we will now move and address some items that we will be reading below. Section 3.2, public comment. Well, I won't read them now. Let's just, I guess, go into the closed session. Yeah, on conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation. Okay, we'll be back.
Excuse me, Waylon, can you announce the time that you're going into the closed session, please?
It's 2:45 for the record.
Is Wayland back?
Yeah, I see him moving his lips, but he's muted.
It automatically muted me. Okay, so I've been talking the whole time, and did you guys hear me take roll or anything?
No.
No.
Dang. It must have defaulted to muting me. Okay, well, anyway, I took roll, and I heard Jim and Christina say they were here, and I am also here, so we're all here.
Fantastic. And
we came back into open session at 3 o'clock exactly. I did not note the time that we left, but it was probably...
It was 2:45.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, so now we're moving on into Section 5.0 of the Consent Agenda. All matters listed under the Consent Agenda are considered by the Board to be routine and will be approved or enacted upon by the Board in one motion in the form listed below. Unless specifically requested by a Board member for further discussion or removed from the agenda, there will be no discussion of these items prior to the Board voting on them. The Superintendent, School Services, and Founder recommends approval of all Consent Agenda items. 5.1. Consent action items for Adeo Charter Schools 2, Adeo Charter School 3, Adeo Valley Charter, Grossmont Secondary, Mira Secondary, and Sweetwater Secondary for each school. 5.1.1, consider approval of board meeting minutes for September 7th, 2023, October 30th, 2023, and November 1st, 2023, and November 13th, 2023. 5.1.2, consider approval of amendment to the bylaws. 5.1.3, consider approval of amendment to administration of the medication policy 5160. Do I have a motion for approval of items 5.1.1 through 5.1.3?
This is Jim Herr, and I recommend approval of items 5.1.1 through 5.1.3.
Do I have a second?
Christina Stevens, and I second that motion.
Excellent. Let's conduct the vote then via roll call. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens, your vote.
Christina Stevens, aye.
And Waylon Myers votes aye. Section 6.0, administrative items. 6.1, consider approval of ratification of terms of lease renewal. 6.1.1, it's for APN 486750-0300 and 6.1.2 for APN 640-14-0031. Lynn, do you have a report for item 6.1.1 through 6.1.2?
Yes, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
For agenda item 6.1.1, which is for APN 486750-0300, this lease is for the La Mesa Resource Center for Grossmont Secondary. The lease was originally acquired in 2008 and has been renewed for an additional five-year term, beginning November 1, 2023, and ending October 31st, 2028, which is the fourth amendment to the lease. Total area of the facility is 2,600 square feet. Under the renewal contract, the monthly base rent is $6,253 at 2.40 per month per square foot. The triple net is $1,429 per month. So the combined lease for this site is $7,682. The current monthly base rent under the new contract is $6,253 at 2.41 per month per square foot, which, as you can see, only increased by a penny. The annual increase is 3%. We were successful in the negotiations and we were able to generate almost 12,000 savings in comparison to the terms of the unnegotiated renewal option.
Well,
the
done.
Total contractual obligation for this site, including the triple net for the life of the lease, is $484,084. Thank you.
Excellent. Mary, you'd have anything else you'd like to add or what your recommendation is?
My recommendation is to approve all the leases that are being brought forward. And I hope you're paying attention to the fact that we've negotiated some really excellent deals on all of those.
Fantastic work. I definitely caught that. Wonderful.
And it's very tenacious about her negotiation.
I know. I don't want to go against Lynn. Go ahead.
Nothing. I just said I wouldn't want to negotiate a lease with her.
All right. Do I have a motion for approval of items 6.1.1 through 6.1.2?
This is Christina Stevens, and I motion to approve section 6.1 through 6.1.2.
Yeah, it's a mouthful. I get it. Do I have a second?
This is Jim Herr, and I second that.
Excellent. Let's take the vote. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens, your vote.
Christina Stevens, aye.
Waylon Myers votes aye. Section 6.2, consider approval and ratification of the new lease for 6.2.1, APN number 64014-0031. Lynn, do you have a report for item 6.2.1?
Yes, thank you, Waylon. This lease is for the expansion of the current Palm Desert Resource Center. We're moving the site inside the premium space for the strip mall. It used to be Westfield, owned by Westfield. And this is for the Palm Desert Resource Center for Mears Secondary. The new lease was acquired in August of 2023 with a seven-year lease term beginning August 21, 2024. So we're not paying anything until we move there, but we have the lease. There's a lease commencement already, and it's ending July 31, 2031. The total area of the facility is 4,287 square feet. Our current site right now is about 2002 or 2004. So this is an expansion of that resource center for the Mears Secondary School. The monthly base rent is $7,324 at $1.71 per month per square foot. The monthly triple net is $2,177. So the combined lease cost with the triple net is $9,501. The base rent, it will not start until we move in. And at the same time, we have negotiated that the base rent will remain the same in year one and two of the lease. Then on the third year, that's when it will increase 2% annually. As you can see, that's a lot of savings that Mears is benefiting. Total contractual obligation for 7 years is $825,000. Thank you.
Excellent. Do I have any recommendations from Mary on this? Should we approve?
I recommend for approval.
All right. Do I have a motion for approval of item 6.2.1?
This is Jim Herr, and I recommend approval of item 6.2.1.
Do I have a second?
Christina Stevens, and I second that motion.
All right, excellent. Let's take our votes then. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens, your vote.
Christina Stevens, aye.
And Waylon Myers votes aye. 6.3, Superintendent School Services and Founders Report. And 6.3.1, ALTUS Approach to Research Component. 6.3.2, SDUSD, Charter Revision for Name Change for ALTUS School San Diego Corporation and Name Change of Schools. Mary, is there a staff report for these items?
Yes, there is. First of all, the name change has been completed, as far as I know, our authorizers. Well, Lynn, you want to give a report on that, short report?
Yes. San Diego Unified School District requires that name change for a corporation and name change for a school be a material revision. So it went through their board, and it was in the consent agenda last, I believe, November 14. And so they approved the name, the corporation name change to ALTUS School San Diego Nonprofit Corporation, as well as the schools. The new name for the school now is ALTUS Schools Odeo. And then the Charter School of San Diego is ALTUS Schools Charter School of San Diego. The next step on this is it will be sent to CDE for an approval. No effect on the charter school numbers and the CDS code number. Thank you.
Which is wonderful. And that's something we tried to accomplish for years. We talked about it and we finally accomplished it, and it works. We're delighted, delighted. Okay, let me go on to my report relating to the research component. We've been working, I've been working with my leadership team, my huddle, on creating a sustainable and resilient organizational system for change through innovation. We're looking at how we are going to move and manage our programs over the next 30 years. And we believe as a basic assumption that change is, we know that that's an essential part of all businesses, educational systems, health systems, but it's changed through innovation. And we have done a lot of work, this is very thoughtful work, in defining innovation. And we use a continuum. We go from a incremental innovation, which would be improvements to our organization, to a full radical innovation, which of course would be something like a smartphone or something extraordinary that's a real paradigm shift. And that is, you know, we've participated in all of them. The radical one, of course, is rare. That's a hard one to come across, but we've worked all along the continuum. What we call disruptive innovation, we're very much a part of that. And that's where we do things in such a way that they impact our sector. And we've got a long history of, particularly within the charter school venue, to have changed how things are done. So focusing on sustainability and resiliency, you might say, well, why would you worry about that? You've been in existence for 30 years. Well, that's true, but we want to exist another 30 years, but we want to exist another 30 years as a quality organization. We want to be sure that we do not slip into mediocrity or the status quo or lose any of that pizzazz that we have in regard to change and being flexible and agile and moving always toward innovation. There's a 10-step process that we're working on, and the team is going to be actually presenting this in at Baldrige Conference in April. We're moving away from the presentation that we've done for several years on our leadership management system. Everybody's interested in that. Everybody wants to know how to do that. But now we want to move along, and Baldrige is also encouraging us to move along and work in the areas of sustainability and resiliency. So they're going to continue working, and they've been working for our last few months, and we'll continue working from here to April and thereafter to really define our terms and talk about how this system flows through the organization. The first step in this system is research. And rather than go in very, very deeply into each one of these 10 steps, I thought it might be effective to demonstrate what it is that we're doing and how we're moving through our research. We've created a team, how we relate to the customer, and how we've created a model that we will be testing as we go along. And ultimately, much of it has already been integrated throughout our organization. And there are other parts that will be discussed that are in the process or will be integrated very soon. So let me introduce Catherine. I don't know if Tiffany ever made it on. I don't see her, but if she's on, she'll talk a little bit too. Otherwise, I think Catherine can probably pick up on her comments. So Catherine, are you there, Dean? Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mary. Let me share my screen. To give you a little bit of background, the initial reason of this presentation, this research, was to research Google Workspace. It was a headline a couple months ago. What does it mean? What does it mean for us? Is this something that we would want to go towards? And in researching Google Workspace, it actually led to other parts of the research and all going back to AI. So this presentation is about emerging artificial intelligence technologies. And we'll talk a little bit about AI. We're at the one-year anniversary of ChatGPT, and even today, Google announced Gemini, which is supposed to be the most capable AI model, but they all say that. So we'll see where that leads us. We'll talk about Google Workspace and its AI companion, as well as what we have right now with Microsoft 365 and the capabilities AI there. And then look at some AI adjacent technologies, augmented reality, virtual reality, and then also what are we doing here at Altus with these technologies. So artificial intelligence, this is nothing new, started in the 50s with machine learning, programming computers to think like humans, looking at patterns, making predictions. And what we're seeing now is that deep learning and neural networks that has the foundations for the generative AI that we've seen. That is where it leads us with Google Workspace, because Workspace and even 365 are just umbrellas for applications that companies use. What we're going to see is really harnessing that companion AI component to really have more efficient workspaces. So Google Workspace, it's basically bringing all of the Google products under one umbrella. It's a rebranding, if you will, of G Suite in the remote and hybrid environment. They just needed companies to be able to have more administrative control. So we're not really seeing different apps. It's the same based apps, except some of the apps are combining. So think of communication apps like Google, the Gmail, the Meet, the Chat, all coming together into one application. So you don't need three applications open. And then Google Workspace is partnering with Duet AI, and we'll take a look at what that means in just a minute. Microsoft 365, again, this is the platform that we've had. We actually rolled this out even before we went to a remote hybrid environment with the COVID shutdown. That's our Word, our Excel. And we're going to take a look right now at what Copilot does. That's the AI partner that Microsoft has. So we'll look at this as a side-by-side comparison with different applications and what currently the Google Duet AI is capable of, as well as what Copilot can do. So when we're looking at documents, right now Duet AI can create drafts. Great for efficiency. Microsoft Copilot can also create drafts, but it can also do some high-level editing for you, and it can analyze and summarize ideas that are given to you in documents. For spreadsheets, Google Duet AI is focused on project tracking right now. With Copilot, it is able to analyze trends for you, create visualizations, and it's really looking at prompts over formulas. So no longer are the days of what is that VLOOKUP formula again? How do I select the table? What's that conditioning formatting tool under? You can just create a prompt to highlight all the values that are over 90% within these cells.
I hate remembering VLOOKUPs. So that's fantastic. I always have to reteach myself.
Looking at email, again, Duet AI, we're at creating the draft phase. With Copilot, you can also draft, but you can translate, you can manage your inbox. And I'm really excited about the insights from missed meetings. So on your Outlook invite, you can accept or decline. There's a new thing that you can do, which is called follow. So if you miss a meeting and the meeting is happening in Teams, if you follow the meeting, Teams will send you the recording. It'll send you a summary. If your name is mentioned for questions, follow-up, action items, it will also send you a summary of that. So it'll be great for efficiency. I know I miss a lot of meetings that I should be at, but I always get that high-level overview afterwards, but this time it'll be automated. And online meetings right now, Duet.
Did you just say you miss meetings? A lot of them?
I cannot possibly attend every single meeting. That is correct. So Duet AI is creating backgrounds right now for online meetings with Copilot. Like I said, it can summarize meetings, create action items from the meeting itself. And then if you bring up ideas within the meeting, it'll go ahead and do the research for you to weigh some options for that meeting idea, creating like a pro-con list for you. And then multimedia presentations, Duet AI right now can create some AI-generated images for your presentation, so you don't have to go online and search for exactly what you want. Copilot will be able to create presentations from files.
So clearly we're going to go with Duet.
Clearly. Clearly we are on the right path with Microsoft Copilot.
Yeah.
So we talked about the adjacent AI technologies, augmented reality. You may have seen this with Amazon when you're searching for furniture and it says view in my room and you hold up your phone and then you can see the coffee table that you've picked out. We have the same technology for education. So in the classroom, an app-based program will show a three-dimensional pyramid for you. The students can count the tiles before they actually learn the algorithm for surface area of a pyramid. With virtual reality, you can see this is a picture of our students currently using the math virtual reality program. It's a fully immersive experience. It's simulated reality, and these are all connected with the same foundational technologies. So the machine learning that we recently talked about, the computer vision, the object recognition, image analysis, the gesture tracking for virtual reality, as well as natural language processing. So the voice commands or text-based interactions, speaking within those simulated environments. And so using that integration with AI within the augmented reality and virtual reality really allows our students to have a better experience, more personalized experience with an environment that's responsive to what they're doing. So where are we with Altus with the implementation of this? So it is part of our strategic plan this year. We are implementing a generative AI for teaching and learning, as well as workforce efficiency. Along with that is a lot of training through Altus University for our staff members for how to use AI in their workspace, but then also how are we teaching students to use AI, embracing the technology in a very ethical and responsible manner. We're also through Altus University preparing staff for the shifts of mindset and workflow because of AI. So we do have to get away specifically with Excel of thinking about formulas and then turning into prompt engineers, exactly explaining what we want the AI to do for us. We, through our Altus Fellows program, we are implementing virtual reality, a career training and exploration program. With what we've learned through that Fellows project, we are also implementing virtual reality for math instruction, as you saw on that previous slide. We've been using augmented reality for math instruction for a couple years now. We are in the research phase for virtual reality for arts and music education, really cool apps for pottery making and actually music production as well. And we're researching AI-enhanced social robots to support teaching practices. So I want to thank you, Mary, for giving us the framework for research in Altus schools, and also to the board, thank you for your time today, and also thank you for your support for research and innovation for our schools.
Thank you. That was a wonderful, wonderful summary. Wonderful. Tiffany was going to talk a little bit about the fact that cybersecurity, of course, is very important, and we're all over that, and also the training, which is essential. So at another date, we can hear more about that. And just for clarification, I was teasing Catherine about the meetings, but she heads up curriculum. Teachers drive the curriculum in our school. And so there's an infinite amount of meetings that are taking place at all times. And so she drops into all the meetings to see how things are going, but you can't be at all the meetings at one time. So as you can see, this would be a wonderful tool for somebody like that who has lots of activity going with lots of different groups and wants to check in and see how things are going. It's marvelous. So not only are we looking at these new tools as a tool instructionally relating to teaching and learning, and much of that is already in motion, but also administratively. So you can see how creative, and I use the example of the finance department, how creative we can be in terms of feeding it data and it coming out with graphics or different representations of that data. This is a very exciting part of the life of our schools, and we're way ahead of so many people. So I'll leave it at that. One of the things that we're hoping to do in the coming year is to prepare some short spots that we'll send to you, since we can't really use up our board time for a lot of these presentations. There are wonderful things happening. Our cadet corps has a simulation on it. If you're not on LinkedIn, you probably haven't read about it, but they're doing simulation training for FAA certification for our cadets for drones and things like that. You need certain certifications. So that's really outstanding, and that's available, and so many things like that are happening. So we're going to do a little short 5-minute things that we'll send to you. And at your leisure, you can go through and read them if you'd like, but we'll prepare a directory to sort of keep you abreast of what we're doing in regard to so many very different projects. I think that takes care of those two. Are there any questions or comments?
My comment is, this is incredibly impressive, Mary, and just the thought leadership here, and that your students are benefiting, you know, at this early stage of AI is just fabulous. Just great work to you and your team for being leaders in this field.
Thank you so much. This began, as you recall, the dialogue on AI became very prominent a couple of years ago. And
yeah, it's still new though.
It is, but in education, people were really shying away from it, panicking, not only at high school level, but post-secondary. And, you know, they were very panicked. And from the very beginning, we said, we want to be positive, and it's an inevitability. So we want to learn and be on the cutting edge of how we're going to use that. And in so many ways, we are on the cutting edge. For example, with the cadets, they are working with the state level cadet program to develop a STEM curriculum so that other cadets throughout California can utilize that. So we really want to be leaders in this space. And Catherine's given us a tremendous beginning, and we'll continue going in that way. But lots of people are working on things. Tim Tudor and his group have been working. I can't remember if I shared this with you, have been working with an intern from MIT who is working with Solar Solutions to present a recommendation for a robot that we might use in our classroom, or robots. It doesn't particularly meet our 100% needs at this time, but we're continuing in that vein to work with partners to get into that space and to bring in robots or whatever it takes to move our students into the next decade of teaching, learning, and working.
Fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you so much. The next thing is the strategic plan update. That just takes a couple of minutes. And Tim, can you talk about that?
Yes, the school productivity indicators, which are part of the strategic plan success numbers, are on pages 36 through 53 of your board packet. You'll see all six schools under the Odeo School Southern California Corporation there listed for the months 2 through 4, but it's really a culmination of the first 4 months of the calendar year, or the fiscal year, from July through October 20th. And currently right now, our participation on enrollment, which is our attendance for Odeo 2, is at 98.5%, which is an increase of 5.6% over last year. Odeo 3 is at 96.9%, which is an increase of 5.5% from last year. Odeo Valley is at 98.9%. It's an increase of 5.7% from last year. Grossmont is at 92.1%, which is an increase of 4% from last year. Mirus is at 92.4%, which is a 5.5% increase from last year. And Sweetwater is at 96.1%, which is a 3.9% increase from last year. So our LCAP goals, about 84%, all of our schools are right in the 92 to 98%. So really strong participation rates to start the year, which is really good.
Is there anything that you can say you can attribute that to, particularly any change we made or any strategy or policy?
Each year, our instructional team just really refines our instructional plan. Each student has their own pathway, PPAP, Pathways Personalized Education Plan, and we this year have a stronger focus on math and math increases and decreasing of the chronic absenteeism. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing, I think, higher engagement from all the different strategies that the teachers are implementing in the resource center, and just really a high awareness of the importance of participation and really trying to start the year off strong with, we're up in enrollment, and the kids that have been here this year seem to be responding well to our instructional staff. So the instructional plan and the refinements of that seem to be working well this year.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Is there more on those reports, or are we moving to the next section?
Moving to the next section. Thank you, okay. Tim. I'd like to add that I think really the enthusiasm, I met with four other principals last night, and they were bemoaning their staff, and you know, lots of people have this issue of staff that is not really moving with, a passion for what they do. You can have all the training in the world, but there needs to be that engagement. And so we have excellent training, and our teachers are really utilizing that training. So I think that takes the educational plan forward in a really vital and engaging way. We're going to hit a ceiling. I mean, at some point, 100% is a ceiling in some of these schools.
Okay. Yeah, I think wonderful. The best, the closer we can stay, the better. All right, let's move to second 7.0 action items. Action items for Odeo Charter School 2, 7.1. Lynn, do you have a report for item 7.1.1, the first interim report for 23-2024?
Yes, thank you. So for the next agenda item, first of all, I'd like to begin by expressing that charter schools are mandated to file 2 financial interim reports during the fiscal year, which represents and describe the financial health of the school. The first interim reports cover the period of July 1st to October 31st, and the school is required to submit this report to the county superintendent of schools by regulation and the local authorizer no later than December 15 of every fiscal year. The second interim reports cover the period of July 1st to January 31, and the deadline to submit is no later than March 15, which is prescribed by the California Education Code. The interim reports compares the current year actuals versus the budget items. And you have to identify the aggregate for your total revenues, expenditures, excess or deficiencies between revenues and expenditures, and the net fund balance. the school reviews this report for budget variance analysis between the budget and actual amounts. For the Odeo Charter School 2, the first interim report, which is found on pages 54 to 62 of the board packet, the ending fund balance as of October 31st, 2023 is $2.491 million, which means that the school is in good financial health and is able to meet its financial obligation. Thank you.
Excellent. Sorry, I was on mute again. Do I have a motion for approval for item 7.1.1?
This is Jim Herr, and I recommend approval of item 7.1.1.
And do I have a second for that motion?
This is Christina Stevens, and I second that motion.
All right, great. Let's take our votes on that. Jim Herr, your vote.
Aye.
Christina Stevens, your vote.
Christina Stevens, aye.
And Waylon Myers votes aye. 7.1.2, review the revised preliminary operating budget assumptions for fiscal year 23 to 2024. Consider approval of the revised preliminary operational budget for fiscal year 2023 to 2024. Lane, do you have a report for 7.1.2?
Yes, thank you. Before I start with the individual revised budget for each school, I want to preface that the budget assumptions for the schools explain the basis of development of the budget. It is very comprehensive, and it provides information on how non-classroom-based charter school or independent study program, just such as the Alto schools, is funded and how average daily attendance is earned. The funding rates per grade level is depicted on the budget, the revenue projection tables, the description of the special funding or the one-time special funding, the budgeted number for full-time equivalent positions, employee health benefits, the retirement employer contributions is also expressed in the budget assumptions, the professional consulting services, marketing, the authorizer's oversight fees, reserves, facilities, and research and development. Reserves are budgeted based normally on the authorizer's requirements or if there's extra funding left, the school's board policy is also considered on reserves. The school allocated funds for research and development is allocated to support works directed toward innovation, which is what Mary was describing, introduction and improvement necessary for the support of the school, which is consistent with the Alto Schools Southern California Corporation's mission and purpose. Now, going for Odeo Charter School 2, the revised preliminary operational budget is based on an estimated P2 ADA of 266.06. The total projected revenue for the school is $4.781 million. The total revenue is comprised of 87.14% for LCFF and other state apportionments, 11.61% for federal revenues, and 1.25% of the local revenue. That is the components of the revenue for the schools. The revenue includes budget for one-time special funding, which are all listed in the budget assumptions. The total amount is $351,389. Please note that last fiscal year, it was almost $660,000 versus the $351,000 this year. The amount is significantly reduced from the last year's appropriation by about $309,000. Special one-time funding for all LEAs in California is diminished. And after the pandemic, those one-time funding from the state has dried up. Projected expenditure for the school is a total of $4.303 million, which is comprised of the total payroll and benefits. And the amount of the total payroll and benefits is $3.052 million, which represent about 64% of the total revenue. Books and supplies is at 2.69%. Rentals, leases, and repairs is at 7.6%. And other services and operating expenses is at 12.18%. With this school, we allocated a reserve of 10%. 10% of the total revenues in the amount of $478,137 has been allocated for operation reserve and reserve for economic uncertainties. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very
in order to spare Len from repeating it over and over again, we do want to call your attention to the fact that that one-time funding is going away or has begun to go away. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to notice a drop in the bottom line on many of our reports going forward. And you've heard that one-time funding in education is going away. So hopefully people planned well and did not build into fixed cost those funds, which would only come to you one time. And mm-hmm. many schools, I'm afraid, did that. But we certainly did not. We tried not to. Mm-hmm. Going forward, so that is completely environmental. It has nothing to do with how we're operating the school. It's just the state and how they've allocated funding to schools. You might have read in the paper this morning that that it appears that the budget for the state is down $68 billion. It went up $10 billion. I don't know how it can happen. Yesterday it was $58 billion. Today it's $68 billion. But I hope it doesn't keep going with that trend. But that's going to require some real funding across the board. Education, they say, is something they want to try to avoid cutting, but who knows? And so just to alert you going forward that I've shared with staff that given that scenario, we are trying to be very cautious for the long term in terms of committing to any fixed costs for the well-being and the sustainability of the school. There will be better days in the future, but at this point, funding is becoming a huge issue for California. Thank you.
Yes, and I wanted to add, Mary, with what you said, that is true and correct. Moreover, one of the contributing factors for non-classroom base is that there are special type of funding that is affordable and afforded to classroom-based charter schools or school districts, but not, we are excluded. Non-classroom-based charter schools are always excluded for those special type of funding as well.
And we've tried to lobby at the highest levels in regard to that. I was asked by someone from FITMAT, and my response was, it should not matter on what the mode of delivery is. It should matter what the outcomes are. So the fact we're a non-classroom-based school, and particularly one that has so much invested in facilities across the county, we don't feel that it should be a factor. We shouldn't receive less funding because it's a non-classroom-based, or they call it a non-classroom-based school. That just really doesn't seem fair. We believe that the outcomes, are kids learning? And are they learning well? And what are they learning? That should be the questions that we're asking.
That makes sense. Absolutely. Do I have a motion for approval for item 7.1.2?
This is Christina Stevens, and I motion to approve 7.1.2.
And do I have a second?
This is Jim Herr, and I second that motion.
All right, let's take our vote. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens, your vote.
Christina Stevens, aye.
Waylon Myers votes aye. 7.2, action items for Adeo Charter School 3. Consider approval for the first interim report for 2023 to 2024. Lynn, do you have a report?
Yes, thank you. For the Adeo Charter School 3 first interim report found on pages 74 to 76 of your board packet, the ending fund balances of October 31st, 2023 is $1.389 million, which signifies the school is in good financial health and is able to meet all its financial obligations. Thank you.
Excellent. Do I have a motion for approval for item 7.2.1?
This is Jim Herr, and I recommend approval of item 7.2.1.
And do I have a second?
Christina Stevens, and I second that motion.
And let's do our votes. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens.
Christina Stevens, aye.
And Waylon Myers votes aye. 7.2.2, review the revised preliminary operating budget assumptions for fiscal year 2023 to 2024. Consider approval of revised preliminary operational budget for fiscal year 2023 to 2024. Lynn, do you have your report?
Yes, thank you. Odeya Charter Schools 3 preliminary revised operational budget is found on pages 77 to 87 of your board packet. This is based upon an estimated P2 ADA of 134 ADA, total projected revenue is $2.611 million. The total revenue is comprised of 86.32% for LCFF and other state allocations, 12.64% for federal revenues, and 1.04% of the local revenue. And this budget includes a one-time special funding. The amount for the special funding for this year is $167,440. Projected expenditures is a total of $2.35 million, which is comprising of total payroll and benefits, and it amounts to $1.634 million for both payroll and benefits, which represents 63% of the total revenues. The books and supplies is at 3.6%. Rental, leases, and repairs is at 6.9%. Other services and operating expenses represents about 13%. And the allocated amount for the reserve is at 10%, which is $261,068. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And do I have a motion for approval of item 7.2.2?
This is Christina Stevens, and I motion to approve section 7.2.2.
Do I have a second?
This is Jim Herr, and I second that motion.
All right, let's do our votes. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens, your vote.
Christina Stevens, aye.
And Waylon Myers votes aye. 7.3, action items for Adale Valley Charter School. 7.3.1, consider approval of the first interim report from 2023 to 2024. Lynn, do you have your report?
Yes, thank you. For the Odeya Valley Charter School's first interim report found on pages 88 to 93 of the board packet, ending fund balances of October 31st is $2.1 million, which signifies again that the school is in good financial health. Thank you.
Great. Do I have a motion for approval of item 7.3.1?
This is Jim Herr, and I put forth a motion to approve item 7.3.1.
Do I have a second for that motion?
This is Christina Stevens, and I second that motion.
All right, let's do our votes. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens, your vote.
Christina Stevens, aye.
And Waylon Myers votes aye as well. 7.3.2, review the revised preliminary operational budget assumptions fiscal year 2023 to 24 and consider approval of the revised preliminary operational budget for fiscal year 2023 to 2024. Lynn, do you have a report?
Odeya Valley Charter School's preliminary revised operational budget is found on pages 94 to 103 of the board packet, which is based on an estimated P2ADA of 266. With a total projected revenue of $4.989 million. Total revenue is comprised of 91% for LCFF and other state revenues. So this school has higher LCFF and other state revenues, 9.31% for federal revenues, and only 0.02% for local revenues. Revenues include the budget for one-time special funding this year, which is $389,506. The projected expenditure is a total of $4.39 million, comprising of total payroll and benefits, and the amount of that is $3.01 million, which represent about 60.34% of the total revenues. Books and supplies is also allocated at 7.12% of the revenue. Rentals, leases, and repairs is at 6.04%. Other services and operating expenses is at 11%. And reserve for the school has been allocated at 12%, which represents the amount of $599,000. Thank you.
Excellent. Do I have a motion for approval for item 7.3.2?
This is Christina Stevens, and I motion to approve section 7.3.2.
And do I have a second?
This is Jim Herr, and I second that motion.
Excellent. Now let's do our votes. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens, your vote.
Christina Stevens, aye.
Waylon Myers votes aye. 7.4 action items for Grossmont Secondary. 7.4.1, consider approval of the first interim report 2023 to 2024, found on pages 104 through 106 of the board packet. Lynn, your report?
Thank you for saying that. Okay.
You bet. Happy to help.
The ending fund balance, it's a teamwork. The ending fund balance for as of October 31st, 2023 is 5.32. And this signifies the school is in good financial health and able to meet its financial obligations. Thank you.
Great. Do I have a motion for approval for item 7.4.1?
This is Jim Herr, and I motion to approve item 7.4.1.
Do I have a second for that motion?
This is Christina Stevens, and I second that motion.
Excellent. Let's take our votes. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens, your vote.
Christina Stevens, aye.
And Waylon Myers votes aye. 7.4.2 reviews the revised preliminary operational budget assumptions for fiscal year 2023-24 and consider approval of those self-same budget items. Lynn, do you have a report for 7.4.2?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Found on pages 107 to 116 of your board packet. Gotta make sure I get that in there.
Right on. Secondary is a preliminary revised operational budget is based on an estimated P2ADA of 287. Total projected revenue is 5.861 million, which is comprising of 80.42% of LCFF and other state apportionments, 11% federal revenues, and 2.54% represents local revenues. It was a one-time special funding in the amount of $421,161. The projected expenditures is a total of $5.568 million, comprising of your payroll and benefits, which is $3.667 million. It's about 63% of the total revenue. Books at 7.23%. Rentals, leases, and repairs is about 4.34%. And other services and operating expenses is about 18%. And the reserve for this school is at 5%, which represents the amount of $293,044, which is allocated for operation reserve and reserve for economic uncertainties. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have a motion for approval for item 7.4.2?
This is Christina Stevens, and I motion to approve 7.4.2.
Do I have a second for that motion?
This is Jim Herr, and I second that motion.
All right, excellent. Let's take our votes. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens, your vote.
Christina Stevens, aye.
And Waylon Myers votes aye. 7.5 action items for Amir's secondary. 7.5.1, consider approval of the first interim report for 2023 to 2024, found on pages 117 to 134 of the board packet.
Thank you. The ending fund balance for Amir's is, as of October 31st, 2023, is $4.503 million. Again, it signifies that the school is in good financial health and is able to meet its financial obligations.
That's excellent to hear. Do I have a motion for approval for item 7.5.1?
This is Jim Herr, and I motion to approve item 7.5.1.
Excellent. And do I have a second for that motion?
This is Christina Stevens, and I second that motion.
All right, let's take our votes. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens, your vote.
Christina Stevens, aye.
And Waylon Myers votes aye. 7.5.2, review and consider approval for the revised preliminary operational budget assumptions for fiscal year 2023 to 2024. And those will be found on pages 135 to 145 of the board packet. Lynn, do you have a report?
Yes, thank you. Mary's secondary preliminary revised operational budget is based on estimated P2ADA of 302. Projected revenue is $5.933 million. This school receives higher percent for LCFF and other state revenues, which is about 90.10% and 9.06% for federal revenues, as well as the federal revenues. It's a higher percentage and 0.84% of the local revenue. The revenue includes one-time special funding in the amount of $432,261. Projected expenditures for this school is $5.60 million, comprising of the payroll and benefits, which the amount is $3.883 million. 66% of the total revenue represents payroll and benefits. Books and supplies is 4.7%. Rentals, leases, and repairs at 7.10%. Other services and operating expenditures is at 12.78%, almost 13%. And the reserve is at 5.5%. The amount of the reserve is $326,318, allocated for operational reserve and reserve for economic uncertainties. Thank you.
Excellent. Do I have a motion for approval for item 7.5.2?
Christina Stevenson, I motion to approve section 7.5.2.
And do I have a second for that motion?
This is Jim Herr, and I second that motion.
Excellent. Let's do our voting then. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens, aye. I'm sorry. Christina Stevens, I'm not voting. A little autopilot there.
Christina Stevens, aye.
Okay, see? Future predictor. Look at me. Waylon Myers votes aye. 7.6, action items for Sweetwater Secondary. And 7.6.1, consider approval for the first interim report 2023 to 2024, found on pages 146 to 148 of the board packet.
Thank you. We are on the last school. So for Sweetwater Secondary's first interim report, the ending fund balance as of October 31st, 2023 is $4.28 million, which signifies again that the school is in good financial health conditions. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. Do I have a motion for approval of item 7.6.1?
This is Jim Herr, and I motion to approve item 7.6.1.
And do I have a second?
This is Christina Stevens. I second that motion.
All right, let's do our voting. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens, your vote.
Christina Stevens, aye.
And Waylon Myers votes. Christina, what am I going to vote? Aye.
Aye.
Yeah. 7.6.2. Review the revised preliminary and consider approval of the same such operational budget assumptions for fiscal year 2023 to 2024 on pages 149 to 158 of the board packet. Lynn, do you have a report?
Thank you. Sweetwater Secondary's preliminary revised operational budget is based on an estimated P2 ADA of 408.25 with a projected revenue of 7.465 million. Total revenues comprising of 91.13% for LCFF and other state revenues, 7.52% for federal revenues, and a 1.35% of the local revenue, with a one-time special funding of $263,417. Projected expenditures, a total of $7.092 million, comprising of payroll and benefits in the amount of $4.528 million. That's about 61% of the total revenue. Books and supplies is about 6.69%. Rentals, leases, and repairs is 6.57%. And other services and operating expenses to be at 17.13%. The school has allocated a reserve of 5% in the amount of $373,282. That is allocated for operational reserve and reserve for economic uncertainties. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do I have a motion for approval for item 7.6.2?
This is Christina Stevens. I motion to approve section 7.6.2.
And do I have a second?
This is Jim Herr, and I second that motion.
All right, let's vote. Jim Herr, your vote.
Jim Herr, aye.
Christina Stevens, your vote.
Christina Stevens, aye.
And Waylon Myers votes aye. All right, section 8, board comments and announcements. From time to time, each board member may have topics of interest they would like to share with the community. These are informational in nature and do not require action. Are there any further comments or announcements from the board members?
If not, I'd like to add something. First of all, thank you for your patience with all those financial reports. As you know, your fiduciary responsibilities are very important, as much as the instructional outcomes. Board members are responsible for both. And I think our finance department, by working with the boards through the years, have developed some very good summary reports. Certainly all the detail is there as well, but summary reports for the public at large and for the board So thank you. Even though it's a summary, it still is time consuming, and I appreciate your patience, and I appreciate the finance department's work. Just a short announcement here. We have a tremendous amount of community outreach that is all year round, but certainly in December more so. And I'd like to share just a couple of things. Last week, I did a radio interview with iHeartMagic 92.5. We advertise on that station a great deal, and they're great partners. Christmas Wish is something that we've been doing for over, I think it was 12 or 13 years. And every year I've gone, we're described repeatedly on that radio station as a partner to Christmas Wish. Christmas Wish takes nominations from the community and gifts deserving families or individuals who have a tremendous need. Just this last week, there was a lady who was an amputee, and she had a family, and it was Christmas time, of course, and they had some challenges because of the medical expenses, but Christmas Wish granted them gifts for the children, a mobile chair that takes her up to the second story that was donated from the community, and many, many different things. There's sometimes washing machines, whatever the need is, and very often now there's a need for a rent. So they'll help pay rent for those that are challenged. So I am very clear in our interview at the beginning that we are a public school and we do not provide funds, but that our partnership involves going out into the community and spreading the word about Christmas Wish. It's Jagger and Christy, and they're good friends for a very long time. They do some wonderful things. Mike down there and Mark, we're very good friends with the radio station, and they do some, I think they go out of their way to support our advertising. And so you'll hear us on the radio all the time, and you'll hear reference to Altus Schools. The second thing is that you might have heard of December Nights, which was in Balboa Park, Friday and Saturday. We had a wonderful booth. Staff worked with the Aerospace Museum. We were located right in front of the Aerospace Museum, where there was a whole section there devoted to younger kids. And we gave out laser, I don't know what they're called, laser wands and necklaces and all kinds of hats and all kinds of swag, which advertised our school. We had people approached us about enrollment, and we had alumni that approached us and thanked us. So it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. It was staffed by our people who provided, you know, their own time to go out there and to represent us. So December Nights was a tremendous success. And this weekend, another long, long time partner who's been so generous with us in so many ways, providing computers for kids, providing funding when they needed it to help support their education and whatever that meant. The Nice Guys event is taking place in Balboa Park this weekend, and it's by invitation. There should be about 3,000 people that attend. 700 families will be provided food and gift cards and that kind of support, and 30 of those families are ours. So we'll be having staff there that will also be supporting the Nice Guys event. So just to let you know, we don't often talk about it, but we are out there in so many ways working on behalf of the communities where our schools are residing. Thank you. And if I don't get another chance, I'd like to wish you all Merry Christmas and a happy holiday. And thank you, board members. I know this is time consuming, and I know you're very important people, very busy. And we are so grateful for all that you've been able to share with us this last year. And we look forward to next year. We try to make your responsibility, your work, as light as possible, but we still have to be thorough and informative. So thank you once again. We appreciate everything you do.
You're very welcome, Mary, from my heart. And I want to congratulate you again on the Baldrige Award coming your way. That is fantastic, amazing stuff. And you guys have all done an amazing job. These reports are clearly well thought out. There's a lot of work that goes behind them, and you do make it a lot easier for us just because of the great summary work that everybody does here.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I do want to say something, if I may. Being a board member and being a parent, I have to give a big shout out to Mrs. Van. She is amazing with my kid. Ashton is or participates in all your clubs at your school down there in Moreno Valley, and he's working and he tries to participate in everything, and he falls behind a little bit in some of his classes, and she is just so patient and so amazing, and your teachers are just great. So kudos and shout out to her and to all your teachers.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
That's amazing. All right. Section 9-0, adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
This is Jim Herr, and I
take it, Jim.
take it, Jim. And I motion to adjourn item 9.0.
All right. Do I have a second?
This is Christina Stevens, and I second that motion.
All right. And then I think we are supposed to vote. Yes. Jim, your vote.
This is Jim Herr, and I.
All right. And Christina Stevens, your vote.
This is Christina Stevens, I.
And Waylon Myers votes aye to adjourn the meeting. Thank you all, and have a happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.